So today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 17. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." This is the word of God.
The parable Jesus tells us here is quite a simple story, and we may have heard it many times. But sometimes with familiar things we do overlook the secrets. The two people Jesus presents here, we may have simplified them as certain types of characters, and we think it is all about black and white picture, and the original lines we can hardly see. If the tax collector would be a sentimental, humble person, as he may appear in our fantasy, then the story would not be a problem for us. But he is not. He's rather a brutal guy, collaborating with the Gentile Roman occupants, working for them, and into his own pocket, sucking the money from his own people. And on the other hand, the Pharisee is a man who is very serious in worshiping a God. People realize quickly if somebody is practicing with his heart, especially when it is about stomach and money. This man goes hungry and gives his offerings and lowers his standard of life for God's sake. For him, God is as real as the coins in his pocket. For instance, who of us gives 10% of his belongings to the church or to support missionaries? Let me say something general about the two groups of the people before we continue with looking into the story. The Pharisees, they wanted to do the will of God and did earnestly obey his commandments. What was wrong with it? Nothing. So far, Jesus had nothing to criticize of their doctrine or their teaching. In our days, we would probably call them the evangelicals in the Christian spectrum, to whom the Bible is the word of God as a guideline for our daily lives. We know some prominent Pharisees from the New Testament. I give some examples. Nicodemus, a well-known person, came at night to Jesus because he had realized Jesus must be a person sent by God, and he came with many questions asking Jesus. Or Gamaliel, he was a Pharisee and a well-known member of the high court, and he spoke he warned his colleagues in court when they wanted to kill the apostles, and he said, "If this is from God, and you kill them, then you might be the losers. Be careful." And even the Apostle Paul, when he was in court, he claimed that he is a Pharisee and a son of Pharisees. Why then does the image of Pharisees have a negative touch in our days? During the years, the Pharisees added many detailed rules to God's law, and sometimes some tricky ones, not to break God's law, but to avoid to break it. For example, the Sabbath mile. You were allowed to travel about 1 kilometer on Sabbath, not more. But to do a longer journey, you put a water bag on the donkey to travel on water, which was not prohibited. And of course, there were also some people among them who wanted to appear better than they really were. But honestly, this kind of people we find not only with the Pharisees, but we find them everywhere in society. Also in LAC. The tax collectors. Palestine was a province of the Roman Empire, and the local people had to pay tax to the government in Rome. But the Romans did not do this ugly business themselves. They issued licenses to some local Jewish people. Through their permanent contact with the Gentiles, these men were ritually unclean. But the business was good, a good way of income for them, because they could add a little bit or even a bit more for their own pockets. In the next chapter, we have a good example of Zacchaeus, also a tax collector. Jesus entered his house, and the people were shocked that he went as a guest into the house of a sinner or an unclean person. But the Holy Spirit worked in the heart of Zacchaeus, and he said then, "I give half of my possession to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody, I will pay back 4 times the amount." Well, the question is, how could he identify all the people he had ever cheated, and how much, and how will he find them? Anyway, "I will pay back 4 times the amount if I have cheated." Now, back to our story. Earlier I said that for the Pharisees, God is very real. And what he mentioned in his prayer is true. And we understand that he is a well-respected person. The people are quite sensitive, and they realize he does not just perform lip service. He is not the one who says, "I warmly recommend the collection at the exit to the generosity of your giving," and then afterwards do something in his pocket, as maybe the tax collector would have done. He would be the first who gives. While the tax collector exploits his people, the Pharisee does his best to keep the holy traditions and faith alive. When we consider all this, then it is not no more logic that Jesus accepts the tax collector, but the Pharisee fails. I can imagine that Jesus did this devaluation of this respected and in many aspects honorable person with deep sadness in his heart. What a strange God is he who accepts the tax collector but rejects the Pharisee. From God's perspective, things appear different as we look at them from our human side. But when we look at these two men and try to understand how they appear before God's eyes, we might be frightened because these two characters are also parts of each one of us. But the question remains, what then is the real difference between these two people? Let us have a closer look to this scene. We can see some parallels Both men want to stand before God. They want to have fellowship with him. But they do even more. They expose themselves to his will. They open their whole inner being before him. And this is quite something. Both of them come to God with a prayer of gratitude. Well, the tax collector's prayer is more a request. But anyway, he's thankful that something like grace of God exists, that somebody like him is allowed to come near to God, that he can enter the holy place, although unworthy and unclean and not like a homesick one who sneaks around the lost paradise. He can come close. The Pharisee also gives thanks to God. Well, what for is he thankful? That God worked with his spirit in his life and freed him, for example, from the bondage of selfishness. He was free to give away. He does not just say, look what a fine fellow I am. You must be happy whenever you see me. And if he would feel like one, he gives thanks to God for making him the person he is. The Pharisee also praises God's grace. What can we say against? But why then is the prayer of the tax collector accepted, but the Pharisee is rejected? There must be something wrong with his prayer. Therefore, we have to dig a bit deeper to find the critical point in the Pharisee and maybe in our life as well. It is not so easy to understand Jesus in his judgment. We learn from their words that both have some self-awareness, both confess something of themselves. The tax collector confesses that he cannot stand before God with his heavy laden conscience. And he's right. The Pharisee thinks he can. There's a difference between him and the chap over there behind the column. Before God, we are all the same. He would reject this vehemently, not only because of his own honor, but more so because he would see this as an attack against God's law. Because he says, if God's commandments are still valid, then it would not be the same to obey them as I do, or somebody does not care about and ignore them and live his own life as he wants, like that one over there. For God's honor, there cannot be any fellowship or equality with a tax collector. Is this what the Pharisee thinks in his prayer not very serious? I say it again. It is not easy to understand Jesus' decision. Therefore, it might be helpful to ask, how do these two men come to their inner awareness? And then to their different confessions. Then we may reach the crucial point. Well, to get to my inner awareness, I need something or somebody to compare myself to. So does the Pharisee. The Pharisee compares himself downwards to find his ranking or his position before God. He chooses that bad tax collector, and the difference between them is quite obvious. Although the Pharisee is aware of the wolves howling in the cellar, he knows of his dreams and desires which frighten him. Anyway, he has overcome them, while the tax collector allowed the wolves to chase him with no restraint. Well, as true as it all might be, by comparing himself downwards, something comes into his conscience and life. Arrogance creeps in. He also mentions some other categories of people he truly does not belong to. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers. No, I'm not one of them. Would Jesus have reason to tell the same story on a Sunday morning in LEC? Because the story begins that he talks to religious people, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on others, he told the story. When you hear that someone breaks in into cars and gullies or burn them, others destroy shop windows and conduits and throw stones on the police, do we belong to the same group of people? Of course, no. We never do with such things. What do you think? When we chat among friends about Hollywood stars who got married 4 times within a few years, why do we do that? Because as we look down on others, we feel much better. But whoever looks down on the weaknesses of others becomes immediately proud and arrogant. Because of his wrong attitude, his orientation downwards, the Pharisee is a typical example. By looking downwards, everything he says in his prayer turns wrong, despite the truths he mentions in detail. His prayer turns into praising himself. I don't know whether you have realized when we heard the reading, God appears only once in his prayer, but I appears 4 times. So somehow, when we look at this, then we understand he puts himself into the center, not God. How different is the prayer of the tax collector? When I stand before God with a heavy, burdened conscience, it does not matter what the other people or what the other people are or what they may think of me. I am completely alone with God. The tax collector would have never thought, this Pharisee is surely an honorable person, but he too has some dirty spots on his shirt. He's also a sinner. All this would be true. But when we are alone before God, when God is the only one who matters, then some other truths are of no importance. Therefore, his situation is genuine and honest. He compares himself upwards. Only God matters to him. What can he bring to impress God? Only the misery of his life. That's all. And suddenly he realizes that he is far away from him. He does not even dare to say, "My God." Because of his dirt, this would be an unacceptable familiarity. But therefore God comes now very close to him. And he says, "You are my beloved child. You are welcome." Now it becomes true what the Apostle Peter says. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let me summarize. One stands before God, small and ugly, because he knows that something in his life makes him ashamed. The other does not know anything like shame or guilt in his life. His trouble is not that he was not far enough on the road, but he was on the wrong road altogether. And we also often get stuck in heathen religion of do's and don'ts, and we want to impress God with what we do for him. This parable is about salvation of sinners. But to help to save the Pharisee is very, very difficult. because he doesn't want to be a sinner. Once in a month we come here to the front for Lord's Supper, as Jesus invites us to his table. And as we do so, we express that we are in need of his forgiveness. Imagine you stand here and the person next to you had just spent 10 years in prison because of his crime. How would you feel? One wrong, proud glance on our neighbor can destroy everything, and the grace of our God disappears. Maybe somebody may ask now, like the disciples later in this chapter in verse 26, who then can be saved? If we can miss God's grace so easily? Who among us does not realize inside again and again those proud thoughts? Then I can only answer with the words Jesus himself answered his disciples. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, with this parable you bring a mirror before us to look into ourselves and find what can stand before you, or how can we stand before you. And I pray that you speak to our hearts again and again, that we may honor you, that we may honor our neighbors, whoever they might be, and see that we depended on your grace. And we thank you that you offer this with great patience and commitment to sinners. Amen.